people brought their beans back and they said, I saved those beans just like you said. What do I do next?
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where I talk to lots of different folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I am your host, Anna Leonis. And food fixers, if you don't know me in real life, you probably wouldn't know that I love to read. Like, I am obsessed with books. In fact, when I was a kid, it was my dream to be the first librarian, author, teacher to go to the moon. Clearly, I was shooting for the stars with that one. But I tell you all this personal information because for this week's episode, I got to go to a library. And not just any library. One without books. A seed library. Now, this is a concept that I had no clue existed, but luckily, one of our fellow food fixers reached out to me and informed me. Another reason why the listeners of the show are wonderful. So thanks to them, this week I went to the nearest seed library to me, which was on Michigan State's campus, in our main library. I also got to talk with Bevan Cohen, director of Michigan Seed Library Network and owner and operator of Small House Farm.
My name is Bevan Cohen. I'm an author, an herbalist, a seed saver. And one of the latest things, I suppose, on my resume is podcaster. That's kind of a new thing that we're doing. In January, we launched a new podcast. It's called Seeds and Weeds, which has been just a super blast.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad that I have a fellow podcaster on.
Oh, yeah. I dig it, man.
Let's start by talking about Small House Farm, which is your farm.
Well, I guess first it's my home. This is where we live with my wife and my two children. But it is also our business. It's something that I call an effort in sustainable living. We grow a number of seeds here for commercial sales, but also for historic preservation. We grow herbs. We cold press oil. That's been a kind of a cornerstone of what we do, is the extraction of seed and nut oils. That's really how we got started here at the farm. And then we take the oils and the herbs, and we have a full line of herbal wellness products that we offer online. You know, but really, I think that the heart of what we do at Small House is education. You know, helping people to learn about how they can maybe get back to nature, learn how to garden, grow herbs, save their seeds, how to share their seeds amongst their communities. I spend a lot of time on the road now, traveling to different places to teach people about the benefits of seeds and herbs and locally grown food. And it's a busy place. Let's just put it that way.
How long have you had Small House Farm? How long has this been part of your life?
Since 2014 was when we moved out here. So not that long, I guess, you know. I guess it depends on your point of view of how time moves.
Did you move here for Small House Farm?
Well, long story short, before we moved here, I did marketing for State Farm Insurance. Yeah. And I found it to be, it was not very fulfilling for me. It didn't really check a lot of boxes in my life. And I thought that, you know, I need to find something better to do with my time. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to leave this comfortable job and I'm going to buy this property out in the sticks and we're going to do something different. And that was about the extent of my plan when we came out here. Yeah. Like I always say, my wife, she's the most patient woman in the whole world because she puts up with me every single day. Those are kind of the decisions that I make sometimes. And so we just kind of, it was like a leap of faith, I guess you could say. Yeah. And we came out here and thank goodness, everything's worked out okay so far.
From marketing to farmers markets.
Yeah, right. Isn't that funny? And you know, the experience I have in marketing has paid off. We utilize those same skills a lot in what we do here, in marketing our offerings and my books and that sort of thing. So, you know, that skill set translate in a way, but it's a much more enjoyable line of work that I find myself in now.
And I imagine if you're teaching people, marketing is just kind of instruction almost on why you should buy something. So it makes sense that you'd be using that.
Sure. You know, but at the end of the day, my ultimate goal is not to get people to buy things from me. It's for them to learn how to do those things themselves. So I always say, if I could put myself out of business, then I've done a great job.
Oh, I like that. Let's talk about Michigan Seed Library Network, which you are also part of. What is your role there?
Well, so I'm one of the founding members. We launched the Cyber Network in 2017. And at first it was really just a database is what we were planning to put together. Through my traveling amongst around the state in particular, but in a larger geographical area, I guess, as well, I found that I was answering a lot of the same questions to organizations that were interested in seed libraries. They'd heard about it. They were curious, how do we get one started? Whatever it might be. And it was getting very repetitive. And I thought, boy, it sure would be more beneficial if we could just have a central location where all of these questions could be answered. So we really started by launching a Facebook group. That's what happened. And it really took off. People were really into it. And we thought, well, the group is nice because it's a nice way to kind of build community and people can share ideas and that sort of thing. But what we need is something that's just clickable information, right? So we launched a website, and it's got the thing that I'm the most excited about is the map that's on the website. It's MI Seed Library. Isn't it cool?
It's so cool. Yeah, I really liked that a lot. And I like that you can click on it and get more information too. It's not just like a Google map. It's very informative. Yeah.
So you can find all the details about seed libraries everywhere near you. And if you find that there's not a seed library near you, the website has all the information that you can get through to how to start one and how to participate in your seed library. So that's been really nice. Since then, and with the success of that, we've been able to expand what we do. And now we offer an annual Michigan Seed Library and Summit, which is a gathering where we have educational programming and we all can get together and just chat about how the year went and share our successes and our failures or whatever. And then we have a new program just in the last few years that's called One Seed, One State. And it's really cool. So what we're doing is we're distributing seed, just one type of seed each year. This year it's Grand Rapids lettuce. So we try to find something that has a Michigan history, and we're distributing the seed to as many libraries as want to participate, whether they have a seed library or not. So even for new libraries, they can kind of get, you know, their feet wet a little bit and see what it's like. Yeah. And we provide the seeds, the packets, the posters, and it's just a free seed distribution. And if everybody in the state's growing the same seed like that, it's kind of like a shared experience that we can all have. So this year we've got 200 libraries that have signed up to distribute lettuce seed in their communities. And that's pretty cool.
Okay, I would love to talk more about that, but I think we should back up a little bit and just get to the basic, what is a seed library? Because I don't think a lot of people know, and I sure didn't.
Sure, so a seed library really takes many different forms. But the most common is inside of a public library is where you're going to find many of them. And it operates very much like a traditional library does. There's a supply of seeds and folks can come and check the seeds out just like you check out books. Take the seeds home, you grow them, you enjoy them. And in the fall, we encourage you to learn to save your seeds and bring them back, just like you bring your book back when you're done reading it, to have a continuous supply of locally adapted seeds. But essentially what it becomes is a hub, a community hub, not only for seed distribution, but education, so people can learn more about how to grow, what to do with the things that they grow, and building community. All these like-minded people come together and learn that there's other people out there that are interested in the same things as me. We learn from each other. We grow together. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is building community and providing people with access to free seeds so they can grow their own food.
Free seeds. So how does a library cultivate a seed library? How does that come to be?
Well, there's a few different steps. And, you know, the beauty of it is that a seed library is just as eclectic as the libraries themselves. You know, depending on the needs of that community or the resources that that library has, they can really design a seed library to be anything that they need. Essentially, all you need is something to store some seeds in and a way to let the public know that it exists, right? Mm-hmm. And we can get as fancy as we want from there. Some people are using card catalogs, you know, repurposing card catalogs to put their seeds in. That's always fun. They've got sign-up forms where they can collect your information. You can join the club. You can use your library card. Lots of different ways. So I'm just going to recommend that everybody just goes to our website, micseedlibrary.org, and it's got all the information on all the different ways you can organize a seed library. And it's got my contact info so people can get a hold of me if they've got further questions on how to do it.
Is it something where one library can share with another library seeds and they kind of collaborate back and forth?
Oh, yeah, that happens quite a bit. Uh-huh. Oh, sure. There's a lot of exchange between libraries. A lot of libraries work collaboratively as it is, you know, exchanging books from one library to the next and that sort of thing. And we do the same thing with the seeds. So we can share the seeds from one library to the next. So it's really a cool way just to build that web to connect people with each other.
How many are there in Michigan right now?
There are, as of right now, 130 seed libraries in the state of Michigan. And to put that in perspective, right? Wow, indeed. It's incredible. Nationwide, and it's, you know, it's hard to get exact numbers on this, right?
Yeah.
But that there's 600 plus across the country. 130 of them are here in Michigan.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty
cool, right?
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I just from being in the Lansing area for a few years and growing up in Michigan and driving through, I know there's a lot of farmland. So I'm sure that that kind of plays into it a little bit, but we're definitely not the biggest farming state. So that's pretty interesting and cool.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to see even in these rural areas where there is a lot of farmland and people have space to grow. And you would think that these folks already have access to these seeds. Mm-hmm. They really don't. And there's a need for it in these rural communities, just as there are in urban communities. I mean, of course, the denser the population, the more seed libraries. Down in the Detroit area, there's an incredible amount of seed libraries. There's an incredible amount of people. So we need to have a lot of seeds down there. But even in the most rural of areas, folks still need access to quality seed. So, you know, we're not going to stop until there's a seed library in every community.
So it is actually actively impacting and benefiting communities. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It impacts, I believe, everybody that comes in contact with it. We could think, of course, the people that have access to the seeds so they can grow their food. They're, of course, impacted by this. And in some places where you would call maybe it a food desert or whatever, where they don't have access to grocery stores or it's difficult to get to the grocery stores that are there, these folks now can grow some of their own food right at home, you know? So obviously that impacts them. It impacts the libraries themselves because, especially in this digital age, it's difficult sometimes to get people to come to the library. People want to buy their books online or they want to, whatever they're doing. And this is another way to get people engaged and get them into the library, right? And then once they're there, they're, you know, they get turned on to other programs and stuff. So it's benefiting the libraries. It's benefiting folks that maybe have never even gardened before, but they're curious about it. So they come and they learn some new skills, they have fun, and they get to build community. Sometimes at these events, you know, that we do at these libraries, people show up. They don't really know what a seed library is. They've never really gardened before. And for whatever's going on in their life, maybe they don't have a lot of social connections. And this creates a scenario where they have a chance to just meet some people and hang out and spend some time with their community. And I think that they're impacted just as much, even if they're not taking seeds at the end of the day, being a part of the community is a very powerful thing.
So is there events that you have where you kind of gather people together? And
well, so the Seed Library Summit, we really try to gear that towards the seed librarians or people that are curious about becoming a seed librarian, starting a seed library. But we do a lot of events. So every year we organize a seed swap in Midland, right in central Michigan, right near the middle of the state. And at the Chippewa Nature Center, it's the last Saturday of February every year. We've been doing it for 7 or 8 years now. And this last year we just had it. We had 900 people come from all over the place. It was incredible. They come from, I mean, all over Michigan, but people come from Indiana and Ohio. We've had people from Wisconsin. We had a lady this year drive all the way up from Alabama to bring her seeds to
show. Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. It was something else, you know, but it's just a great way for all of us to come together. So people can come to this. We have educational programming all day. They can learn about gardening or whatever it might be. They have access to these seeds. And it's a cool thing, but we also do a lot of programs at individual libraries. I spend a lot of my time in the spring and then again in the fall visiting libraries all over the state, to do different programs about gardening and seed saving or seed libraries or whatever it might be, just opportunities to bring people to the library. And, those have been quite successful, especially in these last few years. Now that we're able to get back together again in person, people are really eager to gather and learn about seeds together.
There's such a draw, 900 people from Alabama coming up. That's really, really cool.
It's the largest seed swap in the state for sure. And it's possibly the largest seed swap in the entire Midwest.
I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but invasive species are kind of an issue when it comes to agriculture. Does that ever come up with the seed libraries? Do you ever, when people are coming from Alabama and they're bringing their seeds, is it ever an issue where you're questioning if something could be harmful to our environment in Michigan?
That's a great question, actually. And, you know, a lot of the seed libraries seem to be more heavily focused on food crops. So we see a lot of that, but we also do herbs and flowers, and there's a big focus on native plants, pollinator plants, and that sort of thing. So while there is the possibility of the exchange of invasive plant seed, it's relatively quite rare. Most of the seeds that people are saving from their crops are crops that they're familiar with, right? Things that they know well enough and they're utilizing at home, so they know to save the seeds from it. Mm-hmm. So at that point, it's just kind of, I don't want to say the honor system, but it's just that understanding that we all know better than to do that. Now, when we look at something like the seed swap itself, where it's, you know, 900 people are coming together from all over the place, and some people may not know better. You know, they're just excited to participate. So there, you know, that brings us back to that educational component, why it's so important to help people learn about these different plants and their seeds and the value that these plants bring to us, whether they are invasive or whether they're incredibly useful food crops. And in some situations, sometimes there's a little bit of overlap there. You know, so invasive crops can almost be a philosophical discussion.
How did you get into this? How did you first cultivate a seed library, and where did you even learn about it?
Well, so many years ago, I was at the Chippewa Nature Center in Midland, and I was visiting their heirloom garden. So at the Nature Center, they have sort of a heritage farm, I think is what they call it, you know, where they've got old buildings and a sugar shack, old school, you know, from the 1800s. And they've got this historical garden where they grow food crops that are historic to the area, things that people may have grown around here in the late 1800s. And I used to take my family there, you know, to just check out that they do a thing on Sundays, Homestead Sundays. And I was just checking out this garden one day, and I was just really, really taken by these old crops. And I just didn't really even understand what these things meant, these heirlooms. I didn't, you know, that was something that was new to me. And the guy that manages the garden, he and I got into a conversation about it, and he took some beans, some dried bean pods out of one of the vines, and he put them in my hand. And he said, you take these seeds home and you grow them in your garden and you save your seeds and you share them with your friends. And so I did. I took these beans and I grew them and I saved them the next year. And I shared them with my friends. It was the very first year that we had a seed swap. We organized a seed swap. I'd never even been to a seed swap before, but we organized one just so I would have more people to share these beans with. And people took the beans and it was great. And it was a super fun event. And the next year we decided to do it again, and people brought their beans back and they said, I saved those beans just like you said, what do I do next? And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, and one seed saver became hundreds of seed savers. And it changed the direction of my life in every way, right in that moment. And I don't know, things just kind of snowballed out of control as they do. And here we are today.
Okay, this is the point in which I will curse technology and its unfailing desire to make humans miserable. Bevan's audio cut out just when he began telling me a great story, but do not fear, he will continue. But just for a little bit of context so you aren't confused, Bevan often travels to seed swaps across the country, and once when he was in the South, he encountered an 80-something-year-old named Bunny.
I do still want to hear it. Well, who's Bunny? She sounded cool for a second there.
Yeah, she's very cool. She's this adorable old lady that I met. And Bunny Ashby, she had this bean. I met her at a seed swap. And Bunny Ashby had this bean that her family has been growing in their holler in Pike County, Kentucky for over 100 years, right? Oh. The same bean, right? And I mean, that's cool in and of itself. But there's something about that when we think about how our seeds and therefore our food is connected to our history and our culture, and literally everything about who we are as people comes back to the meals that we share, and all those meals come from these seeds. And there's something to be said about the significance of saving and sharing our seeds whenever we can do it.
Absolutely.
If people would like to learn more about the work that we do, they can check Small House Farm out at smallhousefarm.com.
Well, food fixers, I thank you for joining me this week to grow in our knowledge of food. This podcast is our own little seed swap of information about how to better feed the world. And it means the world to me that you tune in and inform me of cool things happening in our food systems. Also, if you're listening to this the day the pod comes out, Earth Day is in a few days. Make sure to do something nice for the place we call home. Maybe you could plant something. Abundant thank yous to Bevan. Check out Small House Farms and check out the Michigan Seed Library Network and their map of seed libraries.
If you live outside the state of Michigan, do a little bit of research online and check out a new way of learning at your local library. Thank you to the Freezer Bees for the merry music, and thank you to the Knight Center for the opportunity to cultivate this podcast. I will see you next time. I've been your host, Anna Leonis. Should I wonder what's this all about? And should I cry a little?